Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for that song. It's encouraging to me because it goes along well with what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm excited to share. I'm going to be talking about a subject that I think everybody in this room will be able to identify with, whether now or maybe at some point in your life, a subject that I think that all of us will be able to identify with. And I wanted to open up by talking about an article that I read the other day, because it's an article about Amazon, the company, and it really gives us insight into our culture and the way that we think. And so Amazon in 2007, they released their first e-reader called the Amazon Kindle. Anybody have an Amazon Kindle? We have a few people. In 5.5 hours, the Amazon Kindle sold out. And for many months, it wasn't available. So it was a huge hit. Now, I don't have a Kindle, but I like to buy the Kindle books and read them on my iPad. And there's one key feature in the Kindle books that I really love. And it's something called popular highlights. You guys know what that is? The popular highlights. And basically what it is ever since Amazon came out with this e-reader, or these e-books, it'll keep track of every single highlight that people make in every book. That's a crazy thought. Like, if you've underlined something in an ebook, Amazon has that stored somewhere. And so anytime you underline something, they keep it in a database and they keep track of everything you underline. And so what this popular highlight is it lets you know, like, there's this little grayscale underline under a sentence or a passage, and it just says, if you click on it, it says, 400 people highlighted this, or 700 people highlighted this. So it's letting you know that this was a popular sentence, or this was a popular paragraph. You should pay attention to this. It's saying that this is something that people wanted to remember later, or it's something that spoke to them, or like it just hit something with them. It made sense to them. And so there's this thing called popular highlights. And I was reading this article that was written back in 2014, Amazon released some of their data. So all these highlights that people all across the world on every book, fiction, nonfiction, self-help, the Bible, every book, they had compiled all the data of these highlights. And they wrote this article talking about what the most highlighted books were, what the most highlighted phrase was, like all these types of things. And it gives us an insight into our culture. So listen to this. I don't think it's any surprise that the Bible is the most highlighted book of all time. Amen, right? The Bible was the most highlighted book of all time, above everything else. But there was one verse, or there was a passage in the Bible that was highlighted more than anything else. So the most highlighted book of all time, there was this passage that was the most highlighted in this book. What do you think that passage was? John 3:16, you would think so, right? Like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think if you grew up in church, you have that scripture verse memorized, right? We heard about it. It's basically the gospel in like one verse, talking about the love of God, talking about God's salvation. But it wasn't John 3:16. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, Psalm 23. It's this incredible poetic chapter talking about God's provision and God's guidance and leading us in the highs and lows and preparing tables before us in the presence of our enemies. It's like it's a passage that has comforted many people, but it wasn't Psalm 23. So get this. Of everything in the Bible, the scripture verse that was highlighted the most was a scripture verse found in Philippians. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I just want to read that for us real quick. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, doesn't that give you an insight into what people are looking for? So many people are anxious. So many people are looking for peace. I was looking at some statistics, and 40 million adults in the U.S. alone struggle with some form of anxiety. 40 million. That's crazy. That's a lot of people. And so people are looking for peace. People are looking for rest. People have worries and anxieties. And there's something about this scripture verse, don't be anxious about anything. And talking of the peace of God that echoes with people. It hits people where they're at because it's something that so many people struggle with. And so I want to look at this passage because I was going through it recently, just the two verses, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And there was something that I feel God really opened up to me about the passage. And so there are a few points that I want to share with you because I really think that Paul, he's the author of Philippians, he gives us an important key to dealing with anxiety and worry in our life. He gives us the key. And so that's what I want to look at. I want to just kind of take you where God took me as I was going through this passage. So I'm gonna read that one more time, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. If you haven't turned there yet, go ahead and turn there. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to just pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would encourage your people this morning. Lord, you've put something on my heart, and it's nothing that I had to make up. God, it's right here in your word. You give us the key to overcoming our worry and our anxiety and unlocking the peace of God in our heart. Lord, and so I pray for anybody here who maybe just came in and they're well acquainted with worries and well acquainted with anxieties. I pray that you would just speak to them in such a powerful way. And Lord, that every person would leave this place with the peace of God in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. So before I go into the passage, I just want to clarify something because I know anxiety, it's such a broad topic. There's so many different kinds and causes of anxiety. I haven't done enough research. I'm not a doctor or anything like that. So I just want to clarify something. I'm not speaking about conditions this morning that are maybe caused by chemical imbalances in the body or things that you should be on medication for or anything like that. I'm not addressing anxieties like that. What I'm talking about this morning are anxieties and worries that we face as a result of uncertainties or circumstances in life, which is the majority of the anxieties that people have. Circumstantial anxiety, or just uncertainties of life. And so Paul, he gives us 3 points in these two verses. First off, he says, be anxious for nothing. So how many things are we anxious for? Everything. He says, be anxious for nothing. It's interesting, our English word anxiety is actually derived from a Latin word that means to choke or strangle. Have you ever felt like you're choking in life? Like you're being strangled, you just can't breathe? Like this feeling that comes upon us, the worry and anxiety. And he's saying at the way beginning, before he gets into talking about how we overcome anxiety, he's setting a precedent. He's saying, be anxious for nothing. In other words, he's saying there's no circumstance, there's no situation in life that should choke out the peace of God in your life. There's absolutely nothing, no circumstance, no situation that should choke out the peace of God in your life. This peace that we read about in this passage, it's relevant to everybody. It's relevant to every situation. It's relevant to every worry, every anxiety. And so before we even go further in the passage, Paul, he's trying to get us to understand there's absolutely nothing, no anxiety, no circumstance that is bigger than the peace of God or than the peace that God can supply. And I think in theory we believe that, right? We believe in theory that God's bigger than all of our problems. We say it, but when you're in the middle of something, when you're in the middle of a trial, it's a different story. All of a sudden that trial, it seems so big. I remember Pastor Pavel, he gave an analogy at one point that goes well with this sermon. And he talked about, imagine the sun and how big the sun is. It's thousands and thousands of times bigger than the earth. And then you take a quarter. What's bigger, a sun or a quarter? Obviously the sun. We can all say we know that. It's a fact. We believe it. But if you hold the quarter like this and look up towards the sun, the closer the quarter gets to you, you can actually cover up the entire sun with this quarter right here in front of your eyes. And it's because based on our perspective, the quarter may seem like it's bigger than the sun, but in reality, it's nowhere close. And I think that that's a good example of how worry and anxiety work in our life. The closer it gets to us, the more real it seems. It's, all of a sudden, it's like, God, I know you're bigger, but you don't feel bigger right now. It doesn't seem like you're bigger. From the vantage point that I'm looking at this problem and I'm looking at you, it seems like this thing is so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than your peace. And so Paul, he's saying, you can't say, well, you just don't know what I'm going through, or it's too complicated. No, he's saying, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And if there's anybody that can make this comment, it was the Apostle Paul. If there was anybody that could make this comment, it was the Apostle Paul. And here's what's really interesting to me. So this book that we're reading out of Philippians, all it was was a letter to a group of Christians in Philippi. And the main theme of this letter, of all things, is encouragement. So that's the main theme of Philippians, is encouragement. Now, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and he had the possibility of an execution looming over his head. Can you imagine the worry or anxiety he could have possibly been dealing with? Uncertainty of future, not knowing what's going to happen. He might be dead in a couple months. Like, who knows? But it's this man in prison with the possibility of an execution looming over his head that's writing this letter of encouragement to the Christians in Philippi. And Paul was well acquainted with trials and sorrows and hardships. I just want to read to you a passage in 2 Corinthians 11. You don't have to turn there, but Paul, he gives us a little bit of insight into some of the things that he's dealt with. Listen to this. Listen to some of the things that Paul has been through. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one, which was the most severe beating a man could receive under Jewish law. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. He was stoned so bad, the Bible says that everyone around him thought that he was dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So this was a man who knew the feeling of uncertainty of future. He knew what it was like to have a sleepless night. He knew what it was to feel hunger. And he was in constant danger, constant threat. Like, if you think about the circumstances in our life, like, he had so much going against him. Yet he's writing these words, be anxious for nothing. And the thing is, it's not just Paul that's writing these words. This is God speaking through a human vessel, telling us, his children, that there's nothing in life that should choke out his peace in our lives. There's no problem or situation too big that his peace can't cover. And so right off the bat, the first point he's saying is, be anxious for nothing. And then it goes into point number 2. I'm just going to read verse 6 again. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So number 2, he's saying, pray about everything. Pray about everything. And what he's saying, God should be the first place that you go when worry and anxiety try to take over. It sounds obvious, but how many times is that not the case, even as Christians? Before your therapist, before your friends, before your family, before your doctor, before anything else, the first place that we should be going is to God about everything. I was reading an article whenever I was preparing for this, just reading about different articles talking about how do we overcome anxiety and worry in our life. And so some of these articles, they mention things like exercise more. You avoid drugs and alcohol. You eat healthy. Share your experience with someone. Try to put things into perspective. Things like this. And these are good things, okay? All these things are great. But none of those things are going to give you the peace that only God can give. And we have to recognize that. None of those things are going to give you the peace that only God can give. Maybe they're good. Maybe they can be helpful. But they can't give you the peace from God. Recently, I heard a preacher put it this way. He said, people or things can give you comfort, but only God can give you peace. You're not going to find a method. You're not going to find a program. You're not going to find a person. You're not going to find an item that's going to give you the peace of God that God offers. So he's saying, we go to God first, but he's also saying this. He's saying, you can pray about anything and everything in your life, and there's nothing that's too big or too small for God. I heard one person put it this way. There's nothing too great for God's power, and there's nothing too small for his fatherly care. We come to him with everything. And I think that the reason that we're commanded to not be anxious about anything is because we're supposed to be praying about everything. Get that. We're not to be anxious about anything because we should be praying about everything. We take everything to God in prayer. And so just to sum up these first two points, don't be anxious about anything. And then pray about everything. And then it goes into the third point. And this is where I believe that Paul gives us the key to unlocking the peace of God in our hearts. And I think that so many people, we stop at the first two steps. But there's something else in here that's so easily missed because it's only two words. All right? Let's read this one more time going into our third point. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. Many of our worries and our anxieties in life can be rooted in a lack of trust in God. And I know maybe some of us don't like to hear that because it's like, no, I'm trusting God. But there's a difference between saying God is in control and really trusting that he is. You know what I mean? Now, you might be thinking like, well, it doesn't say with trust. It doesn't say to bring our cares to him with trust. It says with thanksgiving. Like, you know, how do those two correlate? Thanksgiving is an exercise of trust. And trust is the breeding ground for peace. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving is an exercise of trust. And trust is the breeding ground for peace in your life. I love how Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines thankful. Listen to this, because this is how thankfulness is an exercise of trust. It says, to be thankful is to be conscious of a benefit received. You're conscious or you're aware of the benefits that you've received. In other words, you're reminding yourself of the faithfulness and the promises of God in your life. You're making yourself aware of them. What are the benefits that you've received? What are the promises that you've been given that you can be thankful for? Because what Paul's doing is he's giving us insight in how we are to pray. We bring our requests with thanksgiving, and in doing so, we're exercising trust in the faithfulness and the promises of God. So let me give you an example of what that might look like. Maybe you're coming to God in prayer and you're saying, God, I have so many health problems. I have my family's falling apart. I lost my job. My finances are rough. But I thank you that you promise that you're going to work all things together for the good of those that love God. You're coming with your request, but you're coming with thanksgiving. Or maybe you say, God, I'm afraid of relationships. I just get so anxious around people. It doesn't seem like I can build relationships. I've been hurt in the past. I have a hard time trusting God. I'm asking that you help me with that. But I thank you that you promised that you'll never leave or forsake me, and that ultimately my identity and my worth is found in you and what you say about me and in my relationship with you. Or maybe you say, God, my future, it's so uncertain. I have so many questions. I have so many worries about my future. God, I'm asking that you take this worry away, but I thank you that you see the bigger picture, that you have everything under control, and that you know what you are doing. There's a difference in coming to God with our requests with thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, when our requests are met with thanksgiving, our prayers are taken to a whole new level. Because with our thanksgiving, we're exercising trust in God. And I love how Paul made it so simple. Like this point of coming with thanksgiving, it's helpful because it brings it down to earth for us. It gives us something practical that we can do, something tangible. Has anybody here, whenever you've gone through things in the past, has anyone ever received well-meaning but unhelpful advice in how to deal with your worry or your anxiety? I think that there's a lot of well-meaning people. I've heard conversations on people trying to comfort those with worry and anxiety. And I noticed that a lot of the times they seem to stop at one of the two points that we discussed. Somehow it doesn't wrap around, it doesn't get around to being thankful. So they might stop at the first part where it says, be anxious for nothing. Who's ever been told, just don't worry about it? Have you ever been told that? You're worried about something, and they're like, just don't worry about it. You're stressing out about nothing, just don't worry about it. And you're like, thank you very much for that. So helpful, right? No, it probably has a negative effect. Now you're worried that you can't stop worrying, so they've added more worry to you, right? And I think that you can't just, it's not just about not being anxious. Paul didn't stop there for a reason, and it's because this is something where it's not about ridding yourself of something, it's about replacing. It's not about ridding, it's about replacing. Your anxieties and your worries, it's not something that you're just supposed to try to get rid of. Just don't worry. No, you're supposed to replace it with a trust. And so when you stop short on that first point, you're not gonna get anywhere. Like when someone tells you to stop worrying, it's like telling someone not to think of something. What happens when I tell you not to think of a pink elephant? Who's thinking of a pink elephant, right? It's like, it doesn't work. You're not just getting rid of something, you're replacing something. And then other people, they may take it a step further. They'll go to the prayer part. How many of you have been told, you just have to pray more? You just have to pray more. And the thing with that is it's like, okay, but I've already been praying a lot about this. I pray every morning, I pray at night. I have my family and my friends praying with me. I have my church praying with me. What does that mean I have to pray more? And they stop at this second point. Now listen, we can come to God in prayer about everything and anything. He said that, we established that. We can come with everything. But listen to this, not every prayer is going to cause you to leave the presence of God with a peace in your heart. That might rock some theology here, but not every prayer that you pray is going to cause you to leave the presence of God with a peace in your heart. Did you know that you can spend an hour in prayer taking your burdens to God and then walk away still not trusting and still holding on to what you went in with? And so maybe in some cases, praying more is not the answer. Because I think when we have our troubles, when we have our trials, we're already praying about them a ton. And so the advice, you just got to pray more. Maybe that's not the answer. Maybe it needs to be taken a step further. And then you have other people, they just skip the thankful part and they go straight to the trust. They go, anybody ever been told, you just have to trust God? As true as that is, it doesn't help me because it's like, well, how do I trust? Like, what do I do? Do I just sit here and close my eyes and think, okay, God, I trust you, and just keep repeating this over and over in my head until some sort of feeling comes over me? Like, how do I get myself to trust God? What does that mean? I have to trust him more. How do I do that? As true as it is, it doesn't really help me. And so when Paul's talking about coming with Thanksgiving, he's giving us something tangible that we can do. It's not just this abstract concept that we don't know how to apply to our lives. He's saying, if you want to bring trust, begin bringing with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Bring your request with thanksgiving. Because when you're bringing your prayers with thanksgiving, you're exercising a trust in the faithfulness and the promises of God. And so it's so important that we not only are anxious about nothing, not only that we pray about everything, but that we're also praying with thanksgiving in our prayers. And then it gets to the good part. In verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Doesn't that sound incredible? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love what this one commentator said about surpassing our understanding. He says this: "That does not mean that the peace of God is such a mystery that the human mind cannot understand it, although this is also true. It means that the peace of God is so precious that the human mind, with all of its skill and all of its knowledge, can never produce it." In other words, this peace that we've been seeking for so much in our life, that we've maybe tried to find in people or methods or items, it's found in God alone. And here's the awesome thing: it's available to us. The peace of God is available to us. So I'll invite the worship team to come up. I want to close with this story. I read this story of a man who lived in the 1800s. His name was Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford, and this man, he was a successful lawyer. He was a businessman in Chicago. He had a lovely family. He had a wife named Anna. He had 5 kids, 4 daughters and 1 boy. Lived a good life. And then in 1871, tragedy started to hit his family. In 1871, his 2-year-old son contracted pneumonia, and shortly thereafter, he passed away. And then just a few months later, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 happened that burned so many buildings, and many of this man's businesses and investments were just burnt to the ground. So he's hit with the death of his son and financial hardship all in 1 year. But the greatest hit came 2 years later in 1873. So Mr. Spafford, he planned a trip to Europe with his family. He was going to go with his wife and his 4 daughters. And unfortunately, some unexpected business problems came up. So he had to stay back in Chicago. And so he sent his 4 daughters and his wife ahead of him to Europe with the intention of meeting up with them later. Well, unfortunately, as his daughters and his wife got on the vessel, the vessel went out to sea and it was struck by another ship. And so all 4 of his daughters drowned, and his wife was the only one that survived. And as soon as his wife got to a place where she could telegram him, she sent him a telegram, and she said, "Saved alone." So as soon as he gets this telegram, he gets on the next vessel to head out to sea to meet up with his grieving wife. And as he's on this ship, they're getting ready to pass the place where his daughters had just drowned. And the skipper of the ship tells him, "Right here is where your daughters drowned." And he's pointing out where the accident had taken place. Now, I can't imagine the anxieties, the worries, the fears, the anger, the questions, everything going through this man's mind in this moment as he's passing by the place where his 4 daughters had just drowned. The guy's been through so much. But it was on the deck of that ship, as he's passing by the place where his daughters had drowned, where he writes these stirring words. He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Amen. If we could all just stand up. I asked Christina and the worship team if they could lead us in this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And here's what I want to do. I want to just invite anybody, if this message has spoken to you in any way, if you have had things in your life or have something currently that you're dealing with, worries and anxieties, if this message has encouraged you, I want you to just come to the altar. What I want to do is we're going to go into this song and I want us just to thank God. I want us to thank God for his faithfulness in our life. Thank God for the promises in our life. And it's not my word. It's the word of God that says when we do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to come in. Yes. And so if that's you, if you want to join me at the altar here and just as we sing this next song and give our thanks to God in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our anxieties, I invite you just to come down right now. And I want you guys to capture this as we close. This moment of thanking God. It's not just a moment for now. This is a lifestyle. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So if his mercies are new every morning, if our troubles are new every morning, then our thanksgiving has to be new every morning as well. And so don't stop here. We're not trying to create a moment where it's all of a sudden I'm thanking God and the peace of God comes and that's the end of it. No, it's a daily thing. God, I'm coming to you daily with my trials and my anxieties, and I'm going to daily come to you with my thanksgiving as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you offer this incredible peace in our lives. God, that we don't have to be anxious about the things in our life. God, as hard as that is sometimes, we can take everything to you in prayer. God, and as we come with thanksgiving, as we exercise our trust in you, Lord, you promise that something incredible happens. There's a peace that maybe we've tried to duplicate in our life, maybe that we've tried to find in other places, and all of a sudden that peace comes and rests on our life. I'm praying for every heavy heart here this morning, and I'm praying that your peace would rest upon them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's sing this song together.
It is well with our soul because Jesus Christ lives within us. And he is the hope of glory. Praise God. Praise God. I can't wait for that day when our eyes will see him face to face. When all the things that we're struggling will be left behind. And John in Revelation says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from death, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and he is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. This is the hope that we have. Whatever what you're going through, he lives within us, and we can live this life. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be possible. And we are going to look with hope to that day. We're going to look with hope, as our brother Josiah said, with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that this is not going to last forever, but you will last forever. I thank you that this pain, the struggles that I'm going through is for a moment, but your word is forever. And you're coming back and we're going to see us. My eyes will see. Can you imagine? Your eyes will see the King of Glory, because he is our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for such a powerful word. We thank you, God, that we're to not to worry about things. And it's so easy sometimes to say that. Lord, but we are to look at you always, to lift our eyes to the hills where the help comes from. and the help comes from the Lord. Oh, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that we're not alone. We thank you that you live in us. We thank you, Lord, that you're coming back. We're not left here on this earth just to live this life. But there is a purpose in our lives to live for you and you alone. Oh, we love you today and we praise your name. God, you see every single one of us here at Summit Community Church. You see the families that are struggling. You see the people that are maybe are just worried about things. And we heard this message that with Thanksgiving we're to come to you. To say, God, these things are going to end. But we look forward to that day when we will see you. What a joyful day there it is. And I pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding. To come among our families, our children, our spouses, and heal our marriages, our relationships. Oh God, I'm asking you to give victory into the areas that we feel so defeated. God, I pray to put a shout of glory in our mouth. Oh, a shout of victory in our hearts, oh God. For us to be able to see, yes, I see these things around me, but I have a God that is bigger than the issues around me. And I'm going to trust and believe in Him. Oh, help us, oh God, to be victorious. Help us to shout to the mountains to move away, and they we shall move away. Because we are to be moved by your word, not by circumstances in our life. Oh, we love you today and we praise you. We bow down before you because you are good in our life and your mercy endures us forever. Oh, thank you, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you that you are love, your kindness, your mercy. Oh, we thank you that you are carrying us through. We're not alone, oh God. Oh, we worship you today, oh Jesus. We bow down before you today. And we're acknowledging that your power is in us. And we can do the impossible. Because you have called us to live this impossible life with you, and through you alone. We thank you, Jesus. And we worship you that you are faithful. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just give Him a shout of praise because He's working. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to Summit Community Church. We love you guys. Please bring a friend next time with you and then just invite people to come to Bible study, to the youth night, to Summit Community Church. And be kind to one another. Amen. Be kind to one another. God bless you. We'll see you guys.